Blog Talk Radio.
Now, Stanley, sponsored at Block Talk Radio from Justin Garfield. Radio Network. Live from San Pablo, Brazil, in the house of Chef Ricardo and fellas, folks. Okay, we're going to go live here from San Pablo, Brazil. So, welcome football, but let's go courtside, ringside, for the first lady of boxing, Lady A, at Brooklyn Barclays Center. Lady A, what is happening in Brooklyn?
I got a lot of crowd out here gathering for Ruslan Zhurabnikov fight against Chris Algieri. A couple of people in the house. We got Jerry Cooney in the house and Rudy Monroe blocking the Women's Boxing Championship. We're about to kick off the first round right now with Sonny Monahan and Elvira Moriki, the Kosovo kid. We're about to start right now. They're about to kick it off, Doc. And I'm out here with the Steve O'Bain Lewis. I'm sure he's going to want to have his say also, Doc, but please try to get ready to for the build-up for the Zhurabnikov fight.
What's the feeling there? It's a fight that Mark Abrams got together with Lou DiBella and none other than last week's inductee into the Boxing Hall of Fame, Oscar De La Hoya. You know, as the Barclays Center is the home of the Golden Boy, allowed the fight to happen. What's the feeling there? I mean, Gilberto Ortiz, our own Junebug, feels that the Russian is, you know, he's a tough fighter. He feels he's going to be a guy that's going to be fighting Manny Pacquiao. What's your feeling, of course, on this lady, eh?
I don't know if that Pacquiao fight's going to go through, but I'll tell you right now, Justino and I are looking at this fight probably going about three rounds, which is tonight. But wait and see. Destino had made a couple of comments like, yeah, first the guy's going to try to dance bachata, then he's going to try to dance salsa, and then he's finally going to end up getting knocked out when he tries to dance some merengue, so.
Lady A, you know, we talked about this last week, and let's do it one more time. And I think the consensus was on last week's fight. Doc Stanley Sports, the Blog Talk Radio, and Trust Recovery, live from San Pablo, Brazil, in the house of the chef, Ricardo Albertino, and his lovely wife, Nuri, and my Bella Angel. Okay. You know, I think what we concurred on last week, Lady A, is that Jojo Martinez what we conferred on last week is that Sergio Martinez was damaged goods.
Yeah. I think my comments are going to pretty much be the same. Like I said that earlier, and I said in the last show, I didn't really get a chance to see the whole fight. But just based on a lot of comments and a lot of the press that I've been able to watch and a lot of the commentary, that's a general consensus that he was pretty much washed up. His knees were shot. I think there was even something in one of the press conferences where Lou DiBella had mentioned that there was going to be some kind of controversy as far as whether, you know, Sergio Martinez was going to be able to win his knee braces. You know, in the fight, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, not like it hadn't been done before. Even in the Yuri Foreman fight, he wore, you know, a knee brace. So I think that going into the fight, I think pretty much, you know, I think the overall consensus was that he was pretty much hurt, and he wasn't 100% healthy. But it's not taking anything away from Cotto. He came prepared for the fight, and he did what he had to do, and he finished them, like, I don't think he came out for the ninth round, if I'm not mistaken, Doc. Am I correct with that? I think he didn't come out for the ninth round.
Lady A, Triple G's coming to town pretty soon. He seems to be the guy that nobody wants to fight.
Who's this? Zhurabnikov? I didn't hear what you said, Doc.
Triple G.
Talking about Triple G
now.
I think, you know, here's my consensus on him. I think he's just having problems trying to get fights, but at the same time, he's trying to stay busy. he's got a fight coming up next month. Christina and I were just talking about that. At the theater at Madison Square Garden, he's got a fight coming up. But I just think he's just having trouble getting opponents. Doc, you're talking about a guy that fights four fights a year. He fought four fights last year, and after the death of his father, he really wasn't able to have that last fight that he actually wanted to have. So I think, you know, I think it is, there is a problem. I think there was something that it kind of, it was supposed to put a Kid Chalker fight together with him. Somehow I think it fell through and he wasn't able to fight. But, you know, I think that, you know, that's a fight that everybody wants to see. But I think he's just having problems trying to get people to step in the ring with him. And I don't know if it's just because of his knockout ratio. I think he's got like an 80-something percent knockout ratio, Doc. You know, I think that a lot of his fights, remember, he still hasn't lost a fight yet. So a lot of his fights have been very one-sided, Doc. You know, you went to that last fight with me at the Garden, and I don't think really many of his opponents have been able to give him, outside of Gabriel Rosado, who went the distance, but, you know, ended up having issues with his eye. I don't really think anybody really has been able to step up and really show this guy any real competition, Doc. I remember in that fight that he had Rosado, too. With Rosado, too, he was sick. He had the flu. So, you know, we'll wait and see what happens and what transpires with that. But, you know, this kid tonight, Ruslan Poravnikov, it's the same thing. Nobody wants to fight this kid. You know? And he's a straightforward fighter. I mean, Dusty and I were talking about possibilities for him to fight, contenders for him to fight. And Dusty and I were saying, you know, one of the fights we would love to see would be Brandon Rios. They have the same style. You know, come forward and, you know, just box straight up. I think that would be a great fight for him, a great matchup for him if he can get it for Poravnikov. You know, he pretty much decimated Alvarado. Alvarado didn't even come out of his stool. We saw what happened with that fight. And it's possible that there was rumors of him fighting Pacquiao. So, you know, and Poravnikov and Pacquiao were sparring partners. He sparred for Manny Pacquiao, who's on Poravnikov. So, you know, I'd be interested to see what they do when they actually get in the ring and they're actually boxing each other, you know, again. So, wait and see what happens with that.
Hey, coming live from Brooklyn, New York, USA, we're live in São Paulo, Brazil. Hey, the consensus is now we're going to have a fight that's long been talked about, Miguel Cotto against Canelo Alvarez. Win, lose, or draw, we're going to have Cotto Alvarez coming before the year's out.
As far as that fight, Doc, I mean, I think that you and Drew were talking about that fight. My prediction with that fight, I do see it going 12 rounds, but there's still a lot of things with Alvarez that I still think need some fine-tuning. For instance, his head movement, we saw that was still an issue in the trial fight, and we saw that he still had a lot of fundamental small things that he had to kind of work out. His foot movement, him moving around the ring, his head movement, there's still a lot of things that, as you can see in the fight with Mayweather, he was able to exploit. I think that in this fight, if they do have a fight, if Cotto and him do have a fight, I think it'll make for an interesting fight. Cotto is a seasoned fighter. He has kind of improved his, one of his signature punches is the left hook to the body. He's been working on that a lot more with Freddie Roach. He's always comes to the ring at the best shape that he can be. However, we have seen glimpses here and there in the past, especially in the last Margarito fight, of him having problems in the latter round. But I think that now with Roach, he's been able to kind of get rid of those little kinks in his armor. So we'll wait and see what happens, Doc. We'll wait and see what happens with this fight, if they do fight. If Cotto and Alvarez do end up fighting each other. So we'll see what happens.
Hey. If you get Dusty to join us, that'll be great. Can you hold on just a second? Let's open up with our normal prayer before we let you run out of here. Thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. For honor and glory and praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your Lord. Don't go to our way. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, lady, live from Brooklyn Coffee Center. We're live from São Paulo, Brazil, and calling broadcasting live from the house of Ricardo Nuri with LP in the house.
Can I just say something? Doc, can I just say something? Hear me?
What's that?
You hear me, Doc? You hear me, Doc?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm clear, Lady A.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, everybody's writing off Arizona Lara, you know, for this fight with Alvarez. And I'm going to tell you this. I think Alvarez is going to show, Lara is going to show Alvarez exactly just what boxing's all about. Because, this, you know, a lot of people have slept on Alvarez, Arizona Lara. And, you know, I think Arizona Lara could win that fight, Doc. Are you with me with that or what?
Oh, no, his trainer told me, you know, that Alvarez has been ducking him for the longest time. They finally got him in the ring. Is that Dusty Jones or Harold Weston?
This is Bestilio. No, Harold Weston. This is Bestilio the Great. What's going on?
I'll let Harold know that you just charged him all together there, you know what I mean?
So what's going on, Doc?
What's the vibe there tonight with this fight? A lot of excitement?
Oh, you mean Ruslan? Hello? So you mean Ruslan and Algeri?
Yeah, well, that's the one you're at.
Are you talking about the main event? Because I'm watching a rip-roaring quarterfinal here with Sean Monahan and a guy named Muriki. There's a war here. 275 pounder, but Shorty Monahan, my favorite, the Irishman from Long Island, he did a tremendous job on this guy, Muriki. But my take on Ruslan and Algeri is, you know, Algeri, like I think I told you, if I didn't, I'm sorry. I've seen him fight before, and the man reminded me of a young Willie Pep. Guys, really good shots, good pinpointed shots, good jabs. And, of course, everybody is slam dunk by Ruslan winning because he's a Siberian rock to him, man. But if he can get past the man's jabs and speed, he could catch up to him. Rocky is one guy who said at the press conference, I'm gonna leave it all in the canvas, and I'm gonna die in the canvas, you know. But and he's right now on the top of his game because of those two tremendous fights he's had, one with Timothy Bradley and the other one with Mike Alvarado, where he won the title. But he seems to be well on the way now. He's in a very great community of 140 pounders, starting with Danny Garcia and Mike Donna. And Matisse, Adrian Broner, Bam Bam Rios, you know, there's a whole bunch of guys in 140 pounders, so he should be kept busy if he wins tonight, which everybody thinks he will win tonight.
Lady, it's never back to you. You know, you brought a good point, too, and I think for those who know, this is going to be Alvarez's biggest test beyond the Mayweather fight. But I think what has happened with the Cotto victory last week is assuring the fact that win, lose, or draw, we're going to have Cotto Alvarez, because if Alvarez does have a title, it's true she has not a fight Cotto that Cotto has.
Yeah.
But like you said, this is the fight
that Alvarez. Go ahead.
Lady A?
Well, it seems like it is a slam dunk with Alvarez. I think that was the deal. Remember, I told you that Cotto wanted another title, should have gotten Molina, and then she would have got out after Alvarez for the 10 mil instead of going to the Lions then, which turned out to be a little puppy. He turned a little puppy. It was a David and Goliath fight, and he got his first title. But now it's a slam dunk. If Alvarez survives, that he's got Lara, it will be Cotto and Alvarez. That seems to be the fight. So I mean, I'm looking forward to it now because of the resurgence of Cotto. And right now, I'm going to go on the bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, and say, I think Cotto has a chance to beat Alvarez.
See, that's
what
no,
I saw last week.
I told you that. I told you. Cotto could beat Alvarez. And then, listen, now set up Cotto and Lara. because I'm going to tell you right now, I think Lana could take Alvarez. I could tell you
what
I'm telling
you. Yeah, but you know what I think again? I think if Cotto beats Alvarez, he wants that second shot at Mayweather, and that's the fight that could happen.
Yeah, well, it's possible, but did you see the latest Mayweather trick? He wants to fight 147-pounder, and he wants to fight 154-pounder all in the same night. So I'm saying, who the heck is he going to fight? Is that a stalling tactic because he doesn't have anybody in quality?
You know, Doc, you got to look at it, too. Like Dusty and I were talking about this before. The 147-pound division is ridiculous right now. And as ridiculous as it is, there still isn't anybody that could draw the crowd that you have with Maidana or you have with Alvarez. Think about it. Thurman is not even though he's a great fighter, he's not a well-known name. Who else behind him could really draw a crowd at 147, Doc?
The boxing ring with Lady A Sports, that block talk radio, just go in there live from San Paulo, Brazil. Dusty and Lady A live from Brooklyn Barclays Center, getting ready for the main event over there. It's no exam but to buy it. I mean, you said everything that had to be said, validated. It's true. We're just looking at some big fights coming up now. We've had the big fight, Cotto Martinez, last week. We got this one here at the Barclays Center.
Triple G
is going to be fighting again.
In July.
We got Gamboa fighting at the end of the month.
You know, Dusty and I were just talking. I think he left time. He's suing top rank or something like that, left top rank. So, you know, he's out there for the picking. I mean, so I think that that's going to be the mega fight coming up. It's going to be Gamboa and Mikey Garcia. Dusty and I were just talking about that. I think that that's going to be the next big fight between the two of them.
Wow.
I remember that. Remember that night we were at the fight, Scott, and you saw Gamboa and 50 Cent. They were pretty much calling him out. So I think that's the next big fight for him, Doc.
Wow. Whoa, beautiful right hand. Yeah, Sonny Monahan is some monster. What a beautiful right hand. But speaking of Gamboa is fighting an undefeated fighter, because Vicky Garcia could not come through the contractual agreement. So Gamboa is going to fight somebody else. It's a tough fighter. Forgive me, I don't know the kid's name, but he's undefeated. And he's an undefeated 130-pounder. And he's going to fight soon. But Mickey Garcia broke off with top rank for some contractual dispute. So I don't know what his game is up to now. And he just wasted talent, just like Andre Ward, who's not fighting anybody. Seemed to replay this fight, this punch. My God, beautiful right hand for it. But everything is up in the air, Doc. I mean, and now with like I said to you before, Mayweather's two fighters in one night. He was trying to do like George Foreman did many years ago when he fought five guys in one night. So I don't know what his game is. He is contracted to fight now in September, and he hasn't come up with a body yet. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, the rumor had it that he was going to be next in line. It was going to be Maidana, Doc, but like Dusty and I were saying, he's never given anybody a second fight. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what the story is.
He's never given anybody a rematch, Doc, with the exception of Jose Luis Castillo. So, he doesn't believe in rematches. So, I mean, I don't think the Maidana fight is anywhere near. There was no demand for it because they didn't make any money. The pay-per-view was a flop. So what the deal is, and he's not gonna fight Khan. I don't know where he's gonna fight the body.
Wow, sad and touching. I'm gonna take this opportunity too to have a Father's Day to your father, Dusty, and give a wish to your father, Lady A. I send his footsteps five from San Paulo, Brazil, Natasha Bella Dury and Al Pacino, Ricardo, And we're talking to Dusty and Lady A Live on the Boxing Way with Lady A Live at the Boston Center. King, before I let you go, who's taking a big fight tonight? You taking the Russian or Algeria? Lady A?
I'm taking Baryshnikov. Dusty and I are saying he's a savage in there. I think he's going to impose as well. I don't even see the fight. Dusty and I were saying we don't see the fight going past the third round.
Is that true, Dusty?
Dusty said,
No. Dusty passed the Puerto Rican.
Bachata, salsa, merengue.
Yeah. He passed the Puerto Rican after salsa, merengue, bachata. No, but in a real sense, you know, I do a lot of scouting, Doc, you know that. But it seems to be it's a slam dunk for Ruslan. So I'm going to give Chris Algieri the first three rounds because he has fought fast. He's a good counterpuncher. I looked at him sometimes in the 10 rounders, and he reminded me of a young Willie Prep. But, you know, I mean, you can just slap around a brick wall so many times before your hands get hurt. And Ruslan will not be denied. This is his first defense. His mom is here. His family is here. So, you know, and you know who has an open door with all the 140-pounders, including Adrian Broner. So he's not going to blow this one. So I have to go along with Ruslan.
Doc, I keep telling Dusty, stop saying that. We want Broner to fight Matisse and Ruslan Baryshnikov. And all those other guys. I mean, those are the guys who won the fight. So he can look like he did well against Ray Zonda.
There may be a Mr. Broner, not Adrian Broner, making that fight. Gang, gonna let you run. And we want to wish happy Father's Day, everybody. We're going to close out this segment, y'all, with Let Me Be the Man My Daddy Was, Lady A, the Boxing Way with Lady A, with Dusty H. Lab Brown X live from the Barclays Center. We got the latest on the world of boxing. We're coming back here to Brazil, the latest on the World Cup. Brazil won the opening match, 3-1 Neymar with 2 goals, won the penalty goal. Spain was beaten half to death by Holland. But today, Mexico won their game. And then, another tremendous game. England lost to Italy. Italy is the team with the most World Cups after the great Brazilians, who have 6.
I'm starting to worry about you down there. There's a lot of stuff coming on the news about those riots down there, man. Everything all
over. It was said before this that there was questions about where was $11 billion, why was it being spent, was it going to come back.
They started with
there was talk about the money could have went to too many other places, other things.
Exactly.
They're
right.
But you know, the thing was, President Dilma had said that the money was being allocated to bring in that much more. And they felt that the exposure would help with the bringing of Brazil out of the third world status. But the problem is that even now there's talk of stadiums are not ready. Here in São Paulo, there was a strike until Thursday. Thursday was a national holiday because of the opening of the World Cup. It's also Valentine's Day here in Brazil. So there's still questions of, are the stadiums going to be ready? There's still questions. Are there protests? There are uprisings all over Brazil. And the World Cup is not only going to be a platform for the biggest sporting event in the world, it's going to be a platform for the Brazilians to come out and show the world and tell the world the problems they feel that have to be rectified and straightened out here. One of the big questions was, why was $11 billion spent to bring the World Cup here when it could have been spent so many other areas? And like you said, Dusty, there's still a situation where they say even at the last minute Thursday, they were putting the stadium together. The opening game was Brazil against Croatia was 1-3-1 by Brazil.
No, well, you're right, but you see the cry also is the fact that all that money that should have gone to the poor when the World Cup is over, those stadiums will stand there like albatrosses, no use, and you don't know what they're going to do with them. Do they knock them down again, or do they use them for something fruitful for the people?
The problem wasn't the stadiums, it's just that the stadiums were too antiquated in the sense of they weren't ready for the updated electronic things that are used, the cell phones, the iPads and stuff like that, and the laptops. And that was one of the big questions. And it seemed that there's even an even bigger problem now There's been a special committee sent to Rio to help Brazil get ready for the 2016 Olympics. And from what I heard, it's the first time this has ever happened. So they want to make sure, by no stretch of imagination, do the problems and situations that have evolved here in the World Cup come up about for the 2016 Olympics. Brazil is the first and only Latin American country ever to get the Olympics. And as you know, Brazil hosts the greatest football player of all time.
All I got to tell you, Doc, is if that happens, you better put my credentials in now, because I'm definitely going to that Olympics.
Because
it's bad enough you went down there and took FIFA and didn't tell nobody about it. So let me know right now. Put my credentials in now, 2 years ahead of time, so I don't get denied.
Listen, let me tell you this. Let me get back on the break and so we'll make sure everything is straight. Enjoy the fight. We'll talk to you next week when we utilize this fight. Thanks for the updates on the forthcoming fight tomorrow. Big, big basketball game. Week down 1-3 against the Spurs. A lot of people feel that first
goodbye.
Game is a...
I say goodbye, Heath.
Listen. We gotta play for the New York Rangers, okay, for next season. They blew it last night, okay? But my man Lundqvist did the best he could, so, you know, we can't go crazy on him, you know?
Well, you know, lady, I tell you, it was said by some before the Rangers got to the playoffs, to the Stanley Cup Finals, that the exhaustion, physically, mentally, and psychologically, they had to go through to get there would be a detriment against...
But not only that, but it's like they were fighting against Dolly Green Giants. You see the size of some of these guys? It was like Jack and the Beanstalk. These guys are so huge. So it's like, you know, come on, Doc. It was just impossible. When they were in the corners, there was no way they're going to push these guys. You see Ficarello trying to push this guy? You know his head was on this guy. He's like, yes.
Well, he's won the Stanley Cup for the second time in the last 3 years, so I guess that kind of says something there. We want to remember the birthdays of some of the outstanding people in the world of boxing. June 8th was that of the late great Leroy Neiman, greatest sports artist, greatest boxing artist of all time. Bobby Goodman, last MSG boxing president. And
the family of Matthew Shah Muhammad, you know, Muhammad, he just passed away a couple weeks ago, so, you know, our condolences to the family.
59 years old, the undisputed light heavyweight champion at one time. Maybe brought us some good birthdays, Joe Louis, Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard. The 16th, this Monday, my man, Cholo, hands of stone, Rebel Duran, celebrates another birthday. Yeah, I'm going to run it out from here. Doc Stanley's question at Blog Talk Radio, live from São Paulo, Brazil, and you're also live from Brooklyn, New York. Gang, we'll talk about the fight next week. Good to have you all. Best thing for you and all the dads out there. Happy Father's Day. And the shot like,
thank
you.
Thank you, Father. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, God Almighty, for my dad who's still around.
Hey, that's right. Hey, the only real father. Thanks, God, gang.
All right. Thanks, God.
Big fight there tonight. Got a chance also to talk with Lady A and Dusty. And we're here live in São Paulo, Brazil. And we're just going to update you on some of the action that's happening here in Brazil. And one of the big things is Brazil went over the match 3-1 against Croatia. Chile won a big game today, 2-1 against England. Spain got demolished by Holland 5-1, and the best goal of the tournament right there was played, a long pass and a headbutter. Neymar, the legendary young player from Santos, scored the first goal for Brazil in the World Cup and also the first penalty shot, Oscar, in the first 4 minutes of first minute of injury time, scored the goal. They made it 3-1. Brazil went on. They won the opening game here in São Paulo. They'll be playing in Fortaleza next. And that's just about it in the World Cup. The Heat is on them tomorrow. They don't win, they're out. They're down 1-3. Rangers are already gone. And enough said there. We all can't forget Derek Jeter, as he's in his last season. And it's Viva Brazil. And Nuri, just say Viva Brazil.
Viva Brazil. Good night.
And that's lovely, Nuri. And Viva Brazil.
Viva Brazil.
the Doc Stanley Sports and Deaf Blog Talk Radio live here and bringing you the latest happening here in the world of sports. I wanted to do that live broadcast, break it down for you here, and we kind of just about done it. We're going to close out the show in just a minute or two with that great song, or Let Me Be the Man My Daddy Was. And like I said, the fever is hard, it's heavy. There's been some big games here, and we just hope that tonight's fights will measure up to what's expected here on Sports and Death Live Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And so with that, we're getting ready to close the show out. We're going to do it with the song that will salute Father's Day, the Shadites. Let me be the man my daddy was. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death Live Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network live from São Paulo, Brazil. And with that, I just got a quick update on what's happening. Doc Stanley Sports and the Blog Talk Radio, Trust and God Radio Network. Like I said, some of the opening lines and pitches there. Neymar, who scored the first goal for Brazil, then the penalty shot, a great goal that Holland scored in beating Spain 5-1. The Heat is on the downhill side. Downhill side. So with that, we're going to close out with Shalites, and we say happy Father's Day, everybody. And from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all. Trust in God. Doc Stanley, Sports and Deaf Blog Talk Radio, and Trust in God Radio Network.
Yeah. Cups, so, action.